Hello and welcome back to Loudmouse. I'm your host, Nick Nocturne, and as always, I'm joined by Wild Spartans.
Hey.
And FPS Diesel.
I'm Wild Spartans.
Fuck off.
Gamer shot.
And today we have a special guest on. Quite, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing? I got on my box today. It's wonderful to get out the box.
Yeah, eat my fucking ass. Eat my fucking ass.
You sound like a fucking Diesel. You sound like one of those squish chickens that you eat in the vines all the time. You know the one that was on top of the roof.
I wasn't either.
You took to that a little too well. I'm not gonna lie.
I think it was perfect.
I'm intimidated.
I told you I'm a shapeshifter.
Yeah, no.
Is he gonna replace you?
Okay, Nick. Speaking of being a shapeshifter, do you want to introduce yourself to anybody in the audience who might not know who you are?
Sure thing. I am Nick Nocturne. I run the Nightmind channel here on YouTube for all of your spooky, mysterious, and creepy internet shit needs. Alternate reality games, web series, crazy art projects, the kind of stuff that Adult Swim airs late at night and then everybody sees the next morning that's gone viral and nobody knows what the hell it means. If you need somebody to talk way too much about it and explain everything down to the tiny bits of minutia, I am your guy for that.
Nice.
That was a really good explanation.
That was a really detailed elevator pitch. That was good.
Yeah, most of the people like we have on, like when we had Anna on, I think she said something really fucking stupid on purpose.
Ouch. Wow.
It was on purpose.
Think Carson said he... I think Carson's like, I make comedy.
I think he's like, he looks at weird pictures of toilets. Very distinct, succinct description, I must say. Congrats, Nick. You've won two awards today. You're the first person to ask about the name of the group chat, and you gave the best description of yourself.
Thank you.
Okay, we forgot to acknowledge that. Yeah, every guest we've had, none of them have been like, why does the chat called Operation America? Like, no one's asked.
I'm going to guess it doesn't mean anything good.
It means next to nothing.
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, it doesn't really mean anything. It's like, whatever.
It doesn't mean anything good. It just doesn't mean anything, TBH.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's just kind of a meme.
Well, while we're on the topic of YouTube and this being the only podcast on said platform, Nick, what kind of content do you like to consume on this website?
What kind of content do I like to consume on the website? See, whenever anybody asks me that, they're kind of expecting me to come up with a bunch of names of kind of peers in the field or people who do similar stuff to me. Really? I think it's kind of fair here that a lot of us will say that when you make a certain type of material, you tend to watch anything but your own type of material all the time.
Yep.
I agree.
Which is how I ended up on this podcast, because I watch Quite, and Quite is pretty far removed from what I do. The only things that we've got in common are explaining things and being hosts. And I guess energy levels.
I think I made a video on you once. That was fun.
You did. For a brief moment.
That was a long time ago. Holy shit.
Long time ago.
We're almost on the year anniversary of that, actually.
Yeah, the funniest thing is that...
Shut the fuck up, Diesel.
That wasn't Diesel.
Shut the fuck up, Brandon. Okay, anyways, where are you?
Yeah, the funny thing is that Nightmare Expo and I patched things up like that very same night. So as you were going ahead and making your video, it's like that thing was already dead and buried.
You son of a bitch. You ruined my chance.
Yes, I did. I denied you your rivalry coverage.
It don't matter.
Yeah, I know. You got Logan Paul and KSI now. You're all good. They're bigger than us.
Yep.
But I like to watch you. I like to watch Mr. Manny Plays a lot recently for his Fallout coverage. I watch a fair little assortment of things, but something that I'll commonly do whenever I'm actually working on something and I just need a long form of distraction on the side or just something to watch is I'll put on Mr. Craven or John Wolfe, the Let's Players, because they play a lot of indie horror games, and it's a good way for me to get my fix in that. Hear some good commentary on the side, just see what's going on in that scene. But other than that, the closest thing I can say that I watch that's near to my own material is Down the Rabbit Hole by Frederick Knudsen.
Sick.
Yeah.
On that same note of like fucking content you like consuming, what fucking music have you been in the business of recently?
I just picked up Last Shredding, and it was perfect timing too. This is the first year that I've gotten into this band, Ice Nine Kills, Inc. for short, and they just released this album called The Silver Scream, which every single track on that album is about a horror movie. They released it just in time for October, so it's like, oh, perfect release window. But every time around this year, I like to listen to kind of the same set of stuff. For me, music really kind of matches the season or the time or what's going on with it. So a lot of Marilyn Manson right now in this moment. Motionless in White.
Oh my God.
Basically, all the shit that you would listen to in a high school right now if you were an edgy goth kid, that's my shit. That's my shit.
Hey, Diesel.
Say, yeah, Ice Nine Kills just released an album. Nick, you're my kind of man with that kind of music. I'm edgy as shit. Ice Nine Kills is actually pretty popular. Have you heard of the band Ghost by any chance?
Yeah, I've heard of Ghost. I've heard some of their stuff on the radio. I gotta tell you, when you see images of Ghost or you hear about Ghost, you don't expect the dude's voice to sound like that.
Yeah,
you expect something like a lot heavier.
Rats.
I like that difference. I don't know. I like their aesthetic, but that's probably because I'm a basic bitch punk kid. But they're really good. I'm trying to think of more obscure bands, especially in like the form of Ice Nine Kills. I can't fucking think of anything right now. You know, it'll come to me like after the cast, and I'll be like, damn it.
There's like one band I mention like every time I ask a guest about music, but have you ever heard about Everything Everything?
No.
Disgusting. Disgusting. Get off the cast. Get off the cast.
That's hipster trash.
What? What do you mean? You like one of their songs?
I like their songs, but they are hipster.
I am hipster trash. Not really, actually. I listen to a lot of hip hop, but
Diesel's hipster trash.
Yeah, I'm aware, but it's like it's good. Everything, like, I don't know. I just fucking really love this shit. Favorite band.
Everything. Okay. I'll go ahead and take a look.
Don't confuse it with the movie.
Everything.
Listen to I would like recommend, like, if you want to get into them, like, listen to Get to Heaven. That's like probably my favorite album of theirs. First one I listened to as well.
Get to Heaven by Everything. Okay. Cool.
Also, and my final question was, what are your thoughts on the at Dick Cockturn Twitter account?
What the fuck is this?
So,
fuck.
Can we get some explanation?
Yeah, we should probably give him a rundown first.
Okay. So the Dick Cockturn Twitter account is a parody account run by a fan. So if anybody watches my channel, or especially if they check out any of the social media, like certain people here and like other people on YouTube, you'll notice that there are two types of host vlogger type or host whatever for a YouTuber. You've got somebody who is straight up themselves going by their internet name, and you also have characters leaning as deeply as they can into character. Something you'll notice about my characterization for the Nightmind channel is that, along with all this spooky stuff to go on with the night, I do get a lot of comments about my voice and other tingles that it gives people. So I've definitely played up that sexuality aspect a lot more. Dick Cockturn has taken that and cranked it to 11. they took all of that they were seeing from fans and all of my playful jokes and teases back, and they decided to be all about that. And they started, it's funny, because they started this big wave of parody accounts of other horror YouTubers and friends of mine sexualizing their names. Like, for Baptism on Fire, there's Gaytism on Fire now. And yeah, quite just caught something from the Dick Cockturn thing, which is directly a riff off of my Twitter account, where the location is, I put, from hell to your bedroom. Which, yeah, that's a little bit of a nod about that. And they went, from hell to your bedroom, if you catch my drift. Winky face.
My Tokyo so, drift.
So that's the Dick Cockturn account. Is they're just somebody having fun, and I adore them. They're hysterical. They come up with some good shit sometimes.
So what you're saying is you find them very, their sexual advances very endearing?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, nice.
I never thought that people would like watch your content and go, damn, this makes me feel all tingly inside.
Diesel, clearly you've not been watching Nick Nocturne long enough.
I've been watching him for a very long... I've actually been watching him for, like, a really long time.
I guess it would
time,
be kind of like the ASMR thing, though.
It's never really impacted me, so that's why I just can't, like, understand how people feel that
way. Well, yeah, do you get off
Diesel's,
ASMR?
Diesel's not a faggot like me. Yeah, he just can't relate, can he?
No, I can't relate. I'm sorry.
Yeah. How long have you been watching fucking Nick Diesel?
God. Ugh. Okay, now I need to go to your channel and go back to the... Let me go through. Somebody
the
else
clock is ticking, Diesel. Come
somebody
on, keep stalling.
I don't know.
Keep stalling.
My name's Jeff. My name is Jeff, all right?
What is your occupation, Jeff?
My occupation is being a friend
Jeff.
Of Spider-Man.
Okay, Jeff, okay.
The Hey Kids video.
Wow, man, you've been in there for a while.
Yeah,
thank
that was
you.
The first video I remember watching of yours.
Yeah. I remember I was telling Nick, like, in DMs a while ago that, like, I found him, like, off of his original Marble Hornets Explained, because, like, I got into it around the time he, like, started making that series. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just got into, like, that whole ARG mess, like, from the start. Fun times.
Yeah, it was cool during that conversation, seeing how far back you went and that you were actually even a fan in the first place. It's sometimes, and you know what, again, a YouTuber thing I'm sure you guys have found, you never know who's watching you. And sometimes it will greatly surprise you to find out.
Yeah, like
especially since YouTube hides the subs now, so you can't even check.
Oh, you can. Brandon,
wait,
you can
you're kidding
check.
Me?
No, they don't. They hide them from the public, but like if you go to your community, like if you go to your dashboard community, you can look at your like who subbed to you under there.
Oh,
no,
okay,
but
okay.
No, they hide if your thing's not set to public, it doesn't pop up.
Well, yeah, it doesn't pop up if like somebody has their subscriptions hidden. Like I have mine hidden,
but that's like. Pretty much every big channel.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't even know anymore.
I found a Kobe person subscribed to me.
How'd you find out?
Because I...
You check your thing?
Yeah, I checked the thing. He doesn't have his private.
Oh, he has a sub... Okay. Yeah, I know I have mine privated.
Yeah, but like...
But I've had them privated forever.
On that whole topic of like not knowing who watches you, it's like... What, like, you meet a lot of people at VidCon, and finding out some of those people know who you are is fucking weird. Like, I know I had a couple moments like that. I don't know if Brandon or Diesel had. I'm sure you guys did.
I've had them before, yeah.
I'm
it is very
it never
weird.
Happened. It'll happen next year.
It will happen, Diesel.
Well,
it will happen.
Not even,
it wouldn't
wait,
happen,
not even,
but like, that's fucking weird.
Not even
unless
with
I get
Chris?
Hit by a bus between now and next year, so.
Not even with Chris?
Diesel.
Thyself?
Diesel?
I was thinking, Thyself? I'm like, who are you talking about?
Chris Raygun. Chris Raygun.
Well, that's different, because, like, I was complaining about how people say I'm a Chris Raygun copy, and then Bunty was like, you are. And that is Chris.
Get fucked! Get fucked, you're both Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican wears glasses, talks about the same thing, there we go.
Yeah, virgin, virgin, virgin.
Thank you.
Two virgins make a virgin.
Is that right,
Britain?
Nick?
Boom.
No, two virgins make an incel form.
Oof.
I saw some low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry.
No, it's just like Diesel's made like several videos and incels.
I'm afraid they're
incels
gonna find
are fucking
me.
Scary.
They are scary. They're scary. They're the new form of I don't even know if I have a metaphor for it.
I don't think there's a new previous incarnation.
Like
like, if there's a new form of incels, I don't want to fucking see it, because, like, they can't go up from there.
They're evolving. Incel has evolved.
Ultra incel.
Okay, so now I have a question, right?
Okay.
What type of content did you make before your current type of content, and if any, and how did you get to making the current type of content you're making now?
Failure and impatience. Yes. What content did I make before my current type of content? The answer to that is pretty much nothing. YouTube is the first creative endeavor I've tried that has actually brought me any sort of satisfaction and a feeling that it had a way forward. I've gone through a little bit of everything, and everything that I've tried has been a little bit of a mutation or a sideways movement according to the plan for something else. Originally, I started out wanting to be a novelist, and I studied the hell out of novels. I wrote all the time. I've got so many old manuscripts and things, and around 2012, I did a deep dive sort of study for about 3 months, reading anything I could get my hands on from novelists, editors, publishers, what have you, about how they see the field and how the art form actually is, and every last bit of professionalism I could get my hands on to read. And at the end of it all, I learned how to write a novel. You know what else I learned? You can't crack into it today with no platform and nothing to do. So I sat there looking at the sky, asking myself, what the hell do I do now? And I thought, well, now there's a problem. Now, people in my position and any other creator like me who wants to do something needs a platform. They need a place to get started, to get the ball rolling. So I thought, what's the best place for that? The internet. So I started thinking about ideas to make a website, kind of a little haven for everybody to start off with that. And it would include people from websites like DeviantArt, who were getting drowned in a sea of garbage, to put it lightly. And you know, just get noticed for something creative. If they poured their heart, mind, and soul into it, if they sweat and bled over it, I wanted them to be seen. So that was the original idea, is learn how to make the website. From the website, I realized that I just didn't have the resources at my disposal at the time to get it rolling. And I looked into all sorts of avenues for how to even put a foothold into the internet so that I could then make my way into the actual website work and pull together a little collective to actually start that tiny foundation just to get it all started. And I just kind of gave up for a while and sat on my haunches because I had no idea what to do. It was just kind of a cold exploratory time. I had no real motivations about it because I felt so tired and so defeated from everything I'd been doing. And during that time, I was watching a lot of horror Let's Players and finding out about the creepypasta narrator scene on YouTube. And thinking about back in 2011 when I discovered Marble Hornets and that entire scene. And realized that for all of the horror video games and horror movies that were getting coverage online, nobody was talking about web series. Nobody was talking about Marble Hornets or projects like it. And they were exactly who I was trying to make this website in the first place for. Something to give them a leg up, to be noticed, you know, to celebrate the work that they did. And so, I just realized, I've got an opportunity here, and it's something that I feel needs to be made. So I made Marble Hornets Explained, and the rest is history. It worked out. I finally got to achieve some measure of what I set out to do after I discovered the issue of, you know, today's wannabe writer. No platform, no broadcasting situation, nobody to help you get noticed, to get a leg up. Well, I finally found my way to do that.
That's sick as fuck. To kind of expand on that that question, like, what was it like moving from like doing YouTube part-time to like as your full-time stint?
Oh, it was amazing. I remember it very clearly. I was trying to wrap up Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, which is the biggest, most difficult production I've ever had, and the most stressful. And knowing I was about to launch this Patreon, when I launched the Patreon, I remember setting my first goal at about $800 per month. It was beaten in about the first 4 to 6 hours. And then just the next two goals, I think, were beaten that same day. It just, my life changed in the course of a day. And it was miraculous. It was extremely freeing. It's like suddenly I realized I can do this full time. I can be a professional creator. I have opportunities now to help other creators in ways I had never dreamed of. I can dedicate everything to this. And it was just... It felt like finally coming into everything that I had been fighting for the whole time. Because that's what the fight was for halfway along. Halfway, make sure that everybody that I want to celebrate gets celebrated. Build this channel up, build these people up. And fight to make it so that I could do this full time. So I'm not constantly looking for every last minute or hour I have outside of regular work in order to do this. Because if I can go full time, I can do things I can only dream about right now. So it was extremely freeing, and the response was incredible, and it's still incredible to me today. It still baffles me that I've had this measure of luck and success and support.
Now, talk about, like, you wanting to write at one point, and you have all these manuscripts. Is there, like, any ever, like, going to be you going back to that, or possibly writing a novel at some point?
See, that's the funny thing. I was so dead set growing up on it that I never envisioned a point in the future where I wouldn't be thinking about it at all. And the times I have thought about it, I can see myself in the future going back to it. The thing I've learned about being creative and being a writer is that it doesn't matter so much about the medium. It doesn't matter so much about sitting down and typing up pages or physically writing them. It doesn't matter if it turns into a book or a script. If you are telling a story, that's what you are actually trying to do. If you're being creative and providing a narrative, an experience for somebody mentally that gets their gears turning and activates their emotions, that's what you're actually after. It doesn't matter what the medium is. So I think that's why I've been so satisfied this entire time, as well as, you know, getting the spotlight to people who I really wanted to do that for. Celebrating all this cool stuff, sharing my discoveries. I've been able to do this all along as well. There's a lot of Nightmind that's very immersive, very creative, and I've had my own little bouts of personal creativity and original stuff that I've seeded into there, and sometimes people catch it. There was, last year, for October, I opened up with an NMTV video. Just to celebrate the fact that it was October, where I put together a custom music video playlist and ran it on a DVD on a TV in a little Halloween party setup and filmed it all. And on the TV, in between certain songs, you'll see a scene that's developing, like this tape has been taped over, of this girl tied up in a basement being tortured by this serial killer who's got this whole Halloween party set up himself. So little bouts of creativity like that I've been able to get out all along and be a little bit of, you know, my natural state from before all this, which is somebody who always wants to tell a little bit of a story. So in the future, when things cool down and when I feel like getting back to it, there's a possibility. I've got, I guess you could say, 2.5 novels to my name. One of them I could see as being salvaged. One would need an entire rework. And the third one, I don't even know what the hell to do with. That was my first horror, and I don't know what the hell to do with it, because it's a weird amalgamated mess of ideas. But like every writer, the best thing I can say about my work from the past, it's all shit. Don't look at it. It's never going to see the light of day in this form, and it embarrasses me every time I look at it.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the mentality of anybody who makes anything.
You know you're an artist if you love your work for 5 minutes and then hate it for 5 days.
Yeah. But, fuck, I feel like I'm like a peewee brain, just like two IQ, like hearing that you've interlaced all this shit and I didn't notice. I'm like, damn, I got PP brain like Brandon.
No.
Poo-poo brain.
No, yeah, not at all. It's super subtle when I do.
Those episodes aren't out yet, though.
Yeah, you keep referencing things that aren't even out. Like, oh yeah, we called Brandon a poo-poo.
They'll be
brain,
out by the time out. This episode goes up, so it's okay.
Loudmouse is non-linear storytelling, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah, because I don't even know what episode goes up when. Like,
this goes up the 17th.
Happy Halloween.
When we say the 17th, we meant the we mean in November.
Yeah, that was the best part.
Yeah, Nick, we had every intention of making you our Halloween episode, and then it just did not work out that way. So, you know, Thanksgiving instead.
Is it too late to switch them around?
Hold on. Are you serious? Do you guys have a backlog that much of other people already?
Brandon specifically is going to be fucking dead for a couple weeks. So, like, we needed to stack up ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of, like, a massive part of one of the episodes we pre-recorded was just talking about our schedule. Like, not because, like, we were trying to give people a rundown, but because we forgot it.
That was like 8 minutes of an episode. Don't exaggerate, okay?
That's a lot of loud mouth.
That is a huge chunk. That is exactly what I said it was.
I don't think it was that much.
That's like near a sixth of the whole fucking thing.
I mean, yeah, but we could switch the episodes around.
Yeah, I mean, like, we could fucking... Yeah, we probably could manage that. Like, we could put it up on the 27th if you wanted.
Hmm. Well, it's up to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is up to us, because it's like...
It's our podcast. You can't do shit.
You want to be in the 17th?
Yeah, let's talk about the movie Venom in November.
We didn't talk about Venom on any of the fucking pre-recorded casts. Did we?
Yes.
No.
I thought we only talked about it on ones that were like going up before Brandon decides to fuck off to wherever.
I thought it was Carson's.
I don't know.
Maybe?
Okay, this is dumb. Let's talk about spooky stuff.
We're professionals, as I said earlier. Right
when obviously. The chemistry is staggering.
Okay, Nick, what is the most like creepy, eerie, spooky thing you've seen on the internet?
Yeah, you can. This proves that fucking Brandon's a total pleb when it comes to this.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Polybian.
Man, that's tough. That's a tough one. Okay, the spookiest thing I've ever seen on the internet is. Because I don't know how legitimate it actually is. And that's because it's Cicada 3301.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Nobody knows how real they actually are or what their intentions are. But the way that they've set everything up and how hard it is to get in, how hard it is to crack them, and how hardcore they are, I've always been hesitant to make a video. Because it's like, these seem like people who do not want to be talked about. They're doing something for their own purpose. It's not to gain exposure. So don't screw with them, you know? That's one of the spookiest things to me.
I remember, like, when I first heard about, like, Cicada, like, I was like, that was, like, one of the weirdest shits I've ever heard about. It was like, I almost completely forgot about it for, like, a while until you brought it up now.
Yeah, you don't really hear it that much. But I read, like, a Vice article on it, and then there's another YouTuber who did a really good documentary on it. Let me know. He did, like, a whole super ridiculous documentary. It was crazy long. And it went into, like, super big detail about them. And... I don't know. I'm of the idea that it might be just a big, like, hoax, personally. But I could... That's the only one I could see being, like...
Don't say that. It might get you.
Uh-huh. Please.
Don't... Don't say that. Okay.
Don't hurt me, government.
That's my...
There we go.
And or private groups that may be behind it.
And or private groups that may be behind any activities. I'm just some guy that talks about TikTok videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the spookiest thing, is whenever it seems to be somewhat real, or it could be very well real, or have real-world ramifications, there's few of them. Because a lot of people... Whenever I cover something and I put it out, I get way too many comments of, is this real? And I just sit there and I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Do you know what you're watching? Are you really asking this right now? And it just, I will very seldom cover the stuff that seems like it's real. Because I prefer fiction. I prefer fiction, and I don't like getting into... the mud of the real stuff. Because there is a certain taboo, don't touch it factor there. It's more fun when it's fake. Or if it's so old that nobody's going to be hurt by touching on it today.
Yeah, because like, it doesn't have ramifications for other people. Like, it's not at anybody's expense, really.
Touching the real shit's like, am I going to get killed?
Yeah.
Am I going to die if I talk about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get that. Okay, Diesel, your turn.
Oh, yeah. I got questions. So,
do you know?
I do.
Are these
have
really
questions.
Your questions, Diesel?
These are really my questions.
Are these really your questions? Is my question.
Well, I'm going to expand on them because the audience doesn't know how to ask questions. Actually, you guys ask good questions this time. I'll be honest. All right.
Yeah, like,
and I'm a stickler for good questions. Anyway, Nick, now, what kind of like horror are you into genre wise? Like, for example, I'm into Lovecraftian horror, always like. I don't know, I just like the feeling of smallness. So, like, what gets your goat when it comes to horror?
Wait, Diesel, I didn't know you were a sub. Shit.
That's not what that means.
It's what I'm processing.
That's not, no. Anyway.
Of course I fucking had to say
it. Wait, what did he say that meant? Wait.
No,
wait,
no,
hold
on.
He likes Lovecraftian horror because he likes the feeling of smallness.
And then he
well, subs are
sub.
Not about that.
Diesel is a sub.
I know, but he's a bot. My point is, Diesel's a bottom bitch.
Quite.
I know firsthand.
The bottom here.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up. I'm sans.
I know firsthand they're both bottoms.
Yeah. That's because you're massive.
Brandon, we get it. You put your dick in Henry's ass at VidCon, now you think you're hot shit. Shut up.
Oh, yeah, he's also a bottom.
He's like taller than you.
No, he's not.
We're getting off topic.
Henry is not even 6 foot. Fuck off.
Okay. So what's my favorite kind of horror? I love that visceral, raw, hunted feeling. The serial killer slasher films, the really good, hunted, intimidating, down to the wire last girl stuff, I love.
Everybody that? In this call is a sub.
How dare you?
Yeah, you heard me, bitch.
No.
I'm the one the comment section calls daddy. Don't you call me a sub.
Yeah, anyway. They call me daddy. I'm 5'5".
As soon as you said
five,
I love that
hunted
feeling, I immediately thought you were a sub.
No, because I like seeing people get hunted.
Yeah,
by
we
serial
get,
killers. Okay.
That's what people watch. That's what people say who watch sub porn.
Just continue. Ignore us.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, beyond that, I love psychological mindfuck films. Psych fuck. I love that. I love that stuff. If it's really twisted, if it's really something to think about, if it's something that you think I would cover in a video of mine explaining what it was all about, obviously I'm all over that. So, those really twisted psychological films and just those raw, visceral, something is coming to get you and it's picking off your friends kind of films.
So, sub-films.
Shut up, Quiet!
That wasn't me!
That wasn't you?
That was Brandon! I feel every... Okay, only Diesel has to confuse Brandon for someone else now.
Yes.
And we have a full set.
This is a very weirdly sexually tense episode of the Loud Mouse podcast.
It's not. It's not that much different.
What do you
from
mean
a normal
tension?
Episode.
This ain't tension.
Diesel, this isn't that much different from a normal episode.
I think
you're
feeling tension because you feel something, Diesel. You feel something.
No.
Do we need to talk about this?
The only thing I'm feeling is tired of living.
Diesel, you pretended like this is like abnormal though, but you're always the one who brings up dicks on the cast.
It's okay, dear. You're in family company.
Idea. Oh.
You're in good company, hon. Come on.
Spooky. Anyway.
Whoa, street.
More spooky, these
home. Let's go. At least it was before I fucked everything up.
More spooky.
Now, in terms of spooky horror and all that, right? Movies, games, like, what would you recommend to people in terms of, like, horror movies, games, stuff like that?
Best horror movie, in my opinion, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It gets no better than that for just that raw, visceral, primal feeling of fear, terror, and just pure horror. Beyond that, I definitely got a certain love of Hellraiser. Hellraiser is super underrated to me.
Hellraiser's great. I love Hellraiser.
Yeah, Hellraiser's great. The last film I saw in theaters that absolutely kicked my ass, Hereditary. Hereditary was phenomenal. The thing about that, though, is it seemed to kind of split the audience in half. Half the audience who goes to it comes away feeling the same way I did. Amazing film. Terrifying. The other half either rolls their eyes or laughs at it. So it's going to be a coin toss if you go and see that. The only other film that got me like that beforehand was Mother. Seeing Mother made me claustrophobic for a minute. And boy, Mother was so hardcore in one of its scenes that I left the theater. I had to leave to get some room to breathe and just not be in that atmosphere. And I remember talking to the person at the desk about it. They said, it's a good thing that you left when you did, because what happens next is just, you know, you don't want to know. And you know, by this point, I was chilled out enough to actually ask what happened. I'm like, okay, you know what? Just tell me. And then they told me, and I couldn't believe they did that shit. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going into that theater, and I'm not seeing this again. This has been a year where movies want to hurt you, man. They want to hurt you so badly. Between Mother, Gerald's Game on Netflix, which I heard a lot of people saying how Gerald's Game became unwatchable for them at a certain point. I haven't even seen it yet, but I trust what they said about it because it was so close to my experience with Mother that it sounded very similar. That, Hereditary. Movies are out for your blood this season.
Damn. I mean, I had seen
like Infinity War.
And I was like, at first I was like, this movie's funny at the end. But for most of that movie, it's pretty much just misery porn. I'm like, this is a sad time. Everyone's sad. I'm sad watching this movie. And then it just did not go how I would expect it. I enjoy it now, you know, given some time to like, ruminate and like think about the movie. I haven't seen Mother though or Gerald's Game, but I think I gotta get around to that now.
There. Yeah, Hereditary sneaks up on you. It tricks you. It tricks you in the best way.
As far as like horror movies as a climate goes, like I remember for a while there was like the stereotype of all horror movies just being like cheap cash grabs. Would you say like that atmosphere has like gotten better over time, or do you think it was never there?
That atmosphere has always been there, and it always will be there. It's embedded into the DNA of horror. Horror, as a genre, as a major genre, really does stem from the ability to make cheap, shocking things that draw audiences to the theater. If they could put together a poster and a trailer back in the day that could entice the audience with all these promises of super sexual stuff mixed with horrible violence and horror, then they could put asses in the seats, and that's all that they really wanted up at the studio. Put the asses in the seats. Get the money. Because by the time that they learn what the movie's actually like, it's going to be too late. The reviews, they're not going to read them. There was no internet around at the time. So it was all about the cheap gotcha. I tricked you into watching. It was clickbait of the movies. And that has never stopped, because you can apply that to a film and get so many more people in there for the same budget that you would a slice of life movie or romantic comedy. Horror is great for budgets because it doesn't cost very much at all in order to pull off, and edit just right with trailers and posters in order to put out that enticing feeling and draw people in. So that's always going to be there, and it's definitely still been around. I'm not going to name any franchises, but I will say that the climate has gotten a lot better. And even companies that are guilty of making that quick cash grab or budget earners, budget builder films, have also been responsible for taking the money they make from that and putting it into amazing films, kickstarting careers of incredible directors and writers. So I think horror has actually been on the rise. I think it's gotten a lot more respect in the studio system as of late, we've been seeing a lot of just kick-ass bold horror, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. The fact that It got a remake, and that remake was phenomenal, that's unheard of. You know, an 80s property being remade into something that everybody loved and surpassed the original, you never could have told us that it would be a remake of It. So, the state of horror right now, very strong. But you're That's never going to get rid of the cash grabs.
Wouldn't dream of it.
They can be fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Okay, now, Nick, speaking of rising up, are you a gamer, and will you rise up?
We have a genuine conversation. I will. Jesus. I play some games. I will not ever call myself a gamer. All right.
You're just He's not gonna like rise up. You're not epic like not... us. You're not epic like us.
Okay, I'm not lay epic like you guys. No, I will not rise up.
All gamers are supposed to lay rise up.
I will not rise up with a controller in my hand and a Mountain Dew in the other. Okay, I'm not even sitting down right now. I don't need to rise up with you.
Where do the gamers rise up meme even come from?
I don't know. I just saw it like the fucking Joker like gang weed fucking.
None of us fucking know. It was right after Ben Shapiro said, "Okay, this is epic."
Great.
Is it really?
No. You think Ben Shapiro said that?
Yeah, he tweets, "Okay, this is epic," and a movement is born.
I will say, Spider-Man on PS4 was amazing, and Fallout 76 will be an addiction for me.
Yeah. Wait, which? Yeah, hopefully. What's going to be an addiction?
Fallout 76. Hopefully.
Yeah, I hope that game's good. I mean, like, the VAT system looks pretty clunky, but hey, maybe they'll fix it. Who knows?
Yep. I'm hoping.
But Diesel, you do know Ben Shapiro actually said, "Okay, this is epic," right?
Yeah, I know he did. Said that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, it didn't create the meme.
I'm up to date on my Ben Shapiro.
It didn't create a gamer movement of rising up.
It didn't create the gamers rise up meme. It created the, "Okay, this is epic" meme.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this is epic.
Okay, shut up. So are we moving on to viewer questions now? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, epic gamer.
Unless you want to talk about rising up some more.
No, I don't. At Proto 47
every morning.
At Proto 4747 asked, "How long on average does it take to research and put together videos on finished ARGs and other similar projects? Also, how fucking cool is it to be a major part of one yourself?"
Incredibly fucking cool. And I never expected that it would turn out that way. That's in reference to the one that I just was involved in over the summer, Jack Torrance, which I've got a whole video on the whole history of that and everything that went on there. But to sum it up, old web series, found footage based, suddenly puts out a live stream after 2 years of inactivity saying, "Find me." I'd already covered them. They're popping up on my radar again. I tease them back. "Okay, you want somebody to find you? I'll come down and find you if that's what it takes." They respond back positively in video form, very cryptic. I fly down to Austin, Texas, spend about a week and a half there chasing them on the ground, and I still don't know who these people are. And it was one of the craziest experiences I've ever had with the channel. It was very, very cool. Sometimes a little bit scary, honestly. There are certain areas of Texas you definitely don't want to go into abandoned buildings in, especially when you hear noises coming out of them. Yeah. But it was worth it. It was completely worth it. As for how long it takes me to research and put together unfinished ARGs and other similar projects. So once I decide to do something, researching and pulling in all the information, it can easily take about a good work day. It can take a good work day to read through it, start collecting screenshots, videos, all of that. For something as long as, say, Ben Drowned, it could take me a day for the script, to write up the script. And from there, it will take me about 3 days, at least, to get through the audio. And those are days consisting of 10 to 12 hour work days. I'm not even kidding. Audio is the most painful, horrible, tedious part of the process. I regret it every single time. I go through a process with my videos. An emotional process, as well as a working process. Oh my god, this is gonna be awesome. I love this so much. I can't wait to make this video. Oh, I can't wait for the viewers' reactions to this part, and just how I get to put this together, and the graphic that I get to use for this, and the moment that they see this, and how it all comes together. Write up the script. Get ready to record. Enjoy the recording process. Sit down. Start working on the audio. Enjoy the audio cleanup process for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Hate myself for 2 full days, dying at the computer, wishing I would do anything else but this, suffering to make it to the end. And then from there, it's just a long, miserable slog to the end until finally I get to export the video, put it into YouTube, heave a sigh of relief, and say, okay, another one done. Let's go get a Dunkin' Donuts coffee and then pass the fuck out.
Could grab a Mountain Dew and rise up?
No. No, I grab a Dunkin' and I sit down. So, audio can take about 3 days. Add to that a good day for research and asset collection. Add to that another full day for actually putting the video elements together. And you're looking at anywhere between, I'd say, 4 to 6 days for my standard 30 minute to an hour or more video.
That is insane turnaround time, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, the thing is, though, I don't feel compelled to take any sort of break unless it's forced or it's something that I need to do once I get started. Once I record that audio, that's it, man. I'm locked in. I'm locked in until the video is done, because now it's just a race. All I have to do is sit down at the computer and just annihilate this. Punch through it, and then it's done. Then it can be uploaded, and I can breathe.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. The only thing I have, roughly to compare to that process is, like, that Michael McCrudden video I made. Like, I decided I was going to make that, like, while I was at VidCon. Like, I was just talking about him with, like, Niall and fucking Bunty. Like, we were talking about, like, all the shit he was doing with X at the time, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to make a big video. And then it took me like 3 months to get it all together. Like the first month, I didn't really do anything. Then the second, it was like all writing. And the third, it was like editing on and off. And like the last 3 days before the video went up, it was like all day I was editing. But like, I feel like I didn't work nearly as fast as like, it seems like you do. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. No, I just marathon it as soon as that audio is recorded. Because I know now the sessions in Audition and the sessions in Premiere Pro are the only thing standing between me and having a new upload. And I want that new upload. We all know the high of finally hitting the upload button on something we're working on and seeing the reaction, knowing it's done, enjoying the process, enjoying that feeling of I created something new and it's out there and people are enjoying it. And I can now move on to the next thing and know I did my work. It's something I can't do. I can't sit on audio.
Yeah, who needs weed when you can upload YouTube videos, am I right, guys?
Hell yeah. Exactly. I'm not alcoholic, by the way.
The next question is the one that Diesel stole, so I'm not going to read that. But
I didn't steal, I expanded on it.
No, he expanded on it. No, because like that question is still valid.
He did, but
that
it's funny you just say valid. He stole it. What was your favorite video to make is the one after that question that Diesel stole?
I'd say that there are two, and the thing that they have in common, besides being huge videos on the channel, is that I also hate them the most as well. Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, and This House Has People In It Explained, because both of those videos nearly killed me. Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared almost definitely killed me, because that one, geez, I began work on that one in June of 2016. That's when I started actually doing work for that. And by the time I was finished, it was the end of August. And that involved actually building that whole set in the dining room of the old house I used to live in. So I built a room inside of a room in order to make that video. I had to make that set. I built the puppets. And on top of that, I had to do all the video work as well. So that was a long, painful, stressful process. And I spent way too much money, way too much time, completely burnt myself out and just kept forcing my way through. I was miserable at so many points during production. But when it was finally done, I knew I had something very special for the channel. And something that was going to surprise a lot of people, and knew that this was the biggest thing that I had done so far. So that was worth it. As for This House Has People In It, man, the timing of that one couldn't have been more fortunate. That came out when I had taken a week off of work, just to catch up with Nightmind stuff and get a jump start on things, get a little bit of a go-ahead. Of course, all my plans for that week had to be thrown right out the window when Wham City Comedy came rolling up with this amazing infomercial that had this giant deep rabbit hole online with more information than I knew what to do with. That week, I must have stayed up for at least 24 hours twice. I definitely did for the first day. The first day, because I woke up, and I still do wake up, usually about 3 p.m. I am legitimately nocturnal. I am up most of the night. So right around that time, I remember waking up about 3 p.m. The video rolls out about, well, it must have been between 11 and 12 that night or something. And then 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m. the next day, I was still awake. After grabbing a friend who has helped me with a lot of huge Nightmind projects that involved, you know, a set of helping hands, and just having him sit down with me and look at this massive load of information and files and asking him, what the hell do you think of all this? Because I know some of what I think of all this, but this is just insane, isn't it? And we just sat there staring at it all. And there was another session, a long session. I think the other 24-hour session was when I actually got to make the video and I just wanted it done. So that entire week was eaten by This House Has People In It. I lost that whole week to that video, but it was so worth it because that has been the number one gateway drug that people cite for my channel. And it is one of the highest performing videos I've ever done. It was what led me to be able to actually go and meet Wham City Comedy and say hello to them at one of their shows locally when they went through the area and just kind of form a cool creative friendship with them. And I just love the video. Every major video that I truly love, I suffer to make. That's what I can say about them. I love and hate my favorite videos at the same time, because they nearly killed me, but they were worth it.
Process is murderous, outcome is fun.
Exactly.
Damn. I just want to say that I really appreciate, like, how creatively driven you are, admire, I should say. Like, it's really interesting to hear, because most people, it's kind of like more of a basic response. So it's, like, really interesting to hear your perspective.
Thanks. I've always had a mindset of, if it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. Like, this is, if you're capable of doing something amazing for a video, right? Then why not? Why not elevate what you're doing above the level of what everybody else does? Why be basic? Why be normal? Why give somebody only the bare minimum of what you can do when you can show them something incredible, you know, and outdo yourself as well? That's what I do each October, and all day long today I've actually been working on some stuff for October. And this might be my most ambitious October yet. I really don't know. So far it's going smoothly, but I'm still going to come down to the wire just from the workload that it requires. But every year I like to outdo myself, and just in every video that I can, if I see a way to improve it or do something cooler than the idea I originally had in mind, I like to go for it. Why settle for normal?
It's a good fucking way of putting it, actually.
It's inspiring.
Yeah, it is. Like, shit. Like,
thank you.
It is interesting to hear, like, how fucking, like Brandon said, how creatively driven you are, and, like, how someone that creatively driven, like, comes to enjoy, by comparison, content that's, like, about, like, that's pretty formulaic, all things considered. like mine or a Let's Play. Like, it, I find that interesting. Like,
Yeah, it's just my form of creativity, really. Nine Minds is not just everything that I'm able to cover. It's also my ability to actually be a creator in my own right in the little ways and touches that I can. And that feeling of, let's do something amazing, has never left me. It's been with me since I tried to be a writer. It carried with me to the idea of, after finding out trying to be a writer without a platform today is not possible in this climate, it's like, well, you know what? Let's build the platform then. For not just me, for everybody. Let's build a goddamn website. Let's punch a hole in the internet so everybody can be on their way up. It's, I can't explain it. It's just something that's always been with me.
It's your baby, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. That feeling of, why settle for anything less than awesome?
Yeah, I respect that a lot. But on the topic of like stuff you've done for October and shit, like you've made, like I remember like the last two Octobers, I think it was, you did an SCP special. And on the note of that, someone asked what your favorite SCP is.
Yeah, it's hard because I love all the SCPs that I managed to pull in each year. Last year was fun. Last year was hilarious because not only did I get to pick a bunch of really outlandish and kind of stupid things, I also got to film them in live action, and it, so much of it was just dumb. There was Storytime Satan, for instance, where you would turn on a nightlight, and the literal devil would come to read you bedtime stories from hell. And not even bad things would happen to them. It would just be about, like, little baby demons in place of human children. But, like, the standard kind of nursery rhyme stuff. But literally Satan would come and read your kid a bedtime story if you turned on the lamp and then go home at the end of the evening. It's shit like that sometimes that I really love. But as for the horror aspect, my favorite SCP, the one that has impacted me the most, Cousin Johnny. I don't even remember the number, but Cousin Johnny is an SCP manifestation where it is some sort of, it's like Eldritch, or it's alien, or it's something. But it comes in the form of a human being that enters a family affair, an event of some kind, a baby shower, a christening, a wedding, a birthday party. It shows up, and it has a mental effect where everybody recognizes it as a part of the family. It's Cousin Johnny, or it's Uncle Johnny, or it's Nephew Johnny. But then it will have complete control of their opinion of anything it does. And what it does can be absolutely horrifying. It can take pieces of children and eat them. It can force people to partake in these horrific rituals. And they just go along with it because they think he's just part of the family. And while he's there guiding things along, it's totally normal to them. And it skeeved me out so bad because there's a certain idea that I've had of what's one of the worst places for horrifying things to happen? At a family function. The atmosphere is always so good, so happy, so excited, so kind and pure, that if anything horrible were to happen, it would be twice as devastating. Cousin Johnny is like that fear perfectly manifested, mixed with something alien, that has power over you and human beings that you cannot even fathom and you cannot fight.
That was like a... Was that like the last one you covered in your 2016 SCP video?
Yep, SCP Vault's Most Wanted, and that's why it was number one on the Most Wanted list, because it cannot be contained, it can show up anywhere, and it can have all sorts of nasty, horrible effects. It just, I remember reading the script, as I even described something that it was capable of doing, I remember, like, catching myself on the line for a minute and just having to catch my breath. It's like, you have to say this line. Don't envision it, just say the line. Because it was so gross and so horrible. I just didn't want to talk about it. And I remember warning people too. Because I remember reading it and being like, oh my god. some of the people listening to this are going to get sick. This is one of the few times where I feel like I have to give a warning.
Is that it? Definitely skirts the line on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you have like another one planned for this year, or are you just gonna keep that to yourself for now?
I will say that I definitely am not looking to break from tradition with October on Nightmind anytime soon. I've got a little pattern of behavior for my videos, and I really, really enjoy it. And so do the audience, I think. So if there's something that people are expecting to see, I think they'll get it.
Yeah, I remember, like, I watched the two Halloween specials, like the SCP ones at least, like, well after, like, they came out, like, it was, like, a month or two ago. And, like, mm-hmm. I was going to put them on while I, like, did something else, because, like, from what I understood, it was primarily reading. And I'm like, oops, I accidentally sat through both of these in the same sitting without actually doing the thing I needed to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it worked out for you like that.
Yeah, I don't regret it at all.
That's appreciated, yeah. The SCP vault is definitely my favorite for October, because SCP Foundation is just so much fun. It's unbridled creativity, and the stuff that people come up with, man, you really can go ahead and make tailored lists of themed ideas, like I did for Most Wanted, like I did for last year with the whole schlocky stupid stuff. It's incredible what you could put together with it, and it never ends. It keeps on growing and expanding, and it's fun to keep thinking. It's fun, but it's also challenging to keep thinking of ways to make it so that Nick Nocturne, the character, can somehow keep getting information out of the SCP Foundation when they're well aware of what he's been doing, and they're trying to stop him because they know he's just going to keep pulling this shit every October.
Yeah, just say you Googled it. Come on.
Yeah.
Found on Google. No, Bing it and they'll never know.
Yeah.
But, like, speaking of, like, what people do with, like, SCPs and shit, like, how, like, they're able to, like, interpret that creativity, like, did you ever get, I heard you mention, like, that you needed to watch Confinement on stream once. Did you ever get around to that?
No, I haven't watched Confinement yet, and I definitely need to do that. Actually, you know what? Maybe that gives me something to watch, actually, while I'm working on some October stuff. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. Sweetheart, and it is fucking shit is great, so.
It's amazing.
I bet. I've heard good things.
Yeah, nah, Bung smells like pizza rolls, though, so don't watch it.
That sounds like a plus.
You walk in the room and smell pizza rolls. Hey, Bung's here.
Hey, it's Bung.
Mom's making pizza rolls.
No, it's just Bung.
I don't actually know what he smells like. I just know he has a craving for American Pringles. Okay, so I know Hyojin's told the story on stream, so I'm allowed to say this. But, like, they changed the formula for fucking, and this is totally off tone with, like, the entire podcast, but it's whatever.
Yeah, we talked about spooky stuff, and now we're going to talk about fucking Pringles that taste bad.
Okay, so Australia changed the formula for Pringles or some shit because, like, it's made in a different place because it's easier to ship there. And this made Bung very depressed because Pringles are good, right? The real Pringles, not none of that fake shit. So he messages every single American on his Discord friends list and asks them to ship him fucking American Pringles. And I remember before VidCon, I specifically bought Pringles, like, two for me, and I bought a tube specifically with the intent of shipping it to him. And then when I got back from VidCon, I ate those Pringles on accident.
Oh, no.
Accident.
Yeah, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident.
He was staring at a picture those of Bung and downing them.
I felt guilty, but at the same time, I wanted Pringles.
Yeah, it's easy to get another tube.
True. But not those Australia. Ones were meant for Bung. Those were Bung's Pringles, not mine. Yeah, he can find some more. What was next on the list?
Do you want to ask the meme questions?
No, the one under the SAP one.
Opinion on Shane Dawson's current series.
Have you been keeping up with that at all?
With what?
The Shane Dawson series.
Mm-hmm. No, nope, I've No, I've got no idea about what Shane Dawson's up to at any point, honestly. So, fill me in. What's happening there?
So, he's making this, like, 8-part docuseries on Jake Paul. And it's gone, like, off the fucking walls recently. There's been a lot of shit about, like, sociopathy. And there's been a huge controversy about, like, him over-dramatizing it. And, like, him using edits to, like, to make sociopaths, like, to, like, be overtly negative or some shit. Or, like, playing up the horror aspect of it too much. He's apologized for it, and I think like he's been going back like
he in apologized real time, like, for fucking... it but then the most recent one has all the same problems.
Yeah, and it's and we talked about this on a previous episode of the podcast, and this video is going to come out well after I think the series has been finished, but it's like at the time we were talking about how like the use of sociopath is probably going to get flung around like willy-nilly, like everybody's like gonna see like these very like generic behaviors that every human has and be like sociopath.
Yeah, so I've actually studied psychopathy and sociopathy. That's another one of my research binges that I did back even before Nightmind. I did this again like a 2-3 month study on serial killers and psychopaths and sociopaths, that entire spectrum, and read all sorts of books, and you know, including this one awesome deep dive study. It was a book that had like just come out that year or very recently from one of the top researchers in the field who had FBI experience and had a whole long history of interviewing diagnosed psychopaths in jail and getting fMRI imaging studies done of their brains. A psychopath is someone who has an impaired empathy sector of the brain. The area of the brain that is responsible for working on empathy, understanding human beings, understanding that other human beings have emotions and being able to relate to them and understand their own effect on other people and their feelings. That part of their brain is either broken, where it doesn't work at all, or it's malfunctioning, underperforming, it's deficient in some way. There has been a lot of interplay between the term psychopath and sociopath. The best way to see it that the field has kind of come up with is that a psychopath is born. A sociopath is conditioned. A sociopath is only similar to a psychopath in that their empathy sector has dulled. The best example you can give of a sociopath would be Dexter Morgan from the Showcase show, Dexter, that serial killer. Dexter was not a born psychopath. He was made by the circumstances that he endured when he was a child. It basically dulled his entire affect and dulled his ability to empathize. But as Dexter grew as a character, he was able to show more empathy. He was able to show feelings. And a lot of the time, he couldn't control that or deal with that. It was a problem for him. So there's a sliding scale of psychopath to normal functioning human with empathy. It's a scale of antisocial personality. It's kind of like a 0 to 10 power of the empathy sector of the brain. The charge of a sociopath would require somebody having gone through a lot of circumstances to really degrade their ability to empathize with other people. A psychopath, even more so, because they would be born. A sociopath, as I see it, and as a lot of people see it, would be easier to spot than a legitimate psychopath, because psychopaths, they have no feelings. They are able to actually infiltrate society like chameleons, and they can put on airs, they can put on personalities for people, they can play very well, they can put on crocodile tears, but really, they have no heart. They feel nothing. It's an extremely serious charge to point at somebody and say psychopath or sociopath. What I think Shane Dawson has done here is he has confused what is way more obviously a case of a touch of narcissistic personality with sociopathy. Because the two are very interwoven. Psychopaths, sociopaths, and narcissists. They all have similar symptoms. Jake Paul, unless he has a history of cruelty to animals and other human beings that would come out, I mean, Logan Paul.
Yeah, we all know that.
we're well versed. Dude, fear not.
Yeah. Unless there's a history of him abusing animals or other people, you can't charge him with psychopathy. With his affect, I don't really think you could charge him with sociopathy either. The best way to describe it is a narcissist. And a narcissistic personality would have some area of antisocial dysfunction because they elevate themselves above other people. They lose their empathy for others by pointing it all towards themselves. They feel more important than others. Others are belittled. They cannot empathize with other people as well because they are the ultimate. They're not on an equal level. So what I'm seeing here from the case is probably a lot more narcissistic personality disorder, if he has that. And I don't think that you can go ahead and lobby that kind of charge officially unless you are a doctor. Unless you are a professional who can pull him into the office and study him and go through his history and come up with the official diagnosis. Now, as somebody who has researched this stuff and somebody even from the outside, are the Pauls a couple of narcissistic assholes who need a good kick in the ego? Every fucking day for the rest of their lives, yes. But a sociopath, I think not. I think he was an opportunistic narcissist. Doing what an opportunistic narcissist on YouTube does. And nothing much more than that. I don't think that he has greatly impaired empathy. I don't think it's very responsible to use the term sociopath against him. And for anybody who's complaining against Shane Dawson about the topic of him using or abusing the terms sociopath and psychopath for horror aspect, honestly, they're kind of right. Just because somebody is a psychopath or a sociopath does not necessarily make them evil or a danger to society. It makes them far more susceptible to being a cold asshole. But it does not guarantee that they are going to be that kind of person. They have an impairment. They have a psychological and physiological impairment. Like anybody else who has a serious impairment or a disorder of some kind. It's just that.
All right. I think that might actually be a good place to end it off.
Yeah, because if we keep going, it's going to be 2 hours.
I'm okay. I'll be okay with 2 hours, but... Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is... Yeah. Oh, shut the fuck up. I had it on the tip of my tongue and then my brain fucking farted.
You had a seizure.
Yeah, shut up. You're Puerto Rican, Diesel.
No mas pantalones. I'm actually wearing pants.
Okay, Brandon, outro the cast.
What?
Okay, do you want me to outro it?
If anything, it's Diesel. It's not me.
I hate outroing the cast.
Why outro the cast? You get better at it.
Fine, I'll do it then. Fine.
Okay, you do it.
Nick, thanks for coming on this episode. We do appreciate it. You said a lot of fucking interesting shit this episode.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I've had a blast. It's been fun.
Sorry, my internet like fucked up for a second, but yeah, thank you.
Wasn't your internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, but, thank you guys. Thank you for listening
to this episode of Loudmouse. You guys can follow us on loudmouse_ on Twitter and Instagram. Be sure to check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and whatever other platforms we might be on or not be on at this point. We're definitely the only podcast on YouTube, though, so subscribe if you're new. Bye. Go away.